Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin F, Fellowship, with our guest, Bob Derilio of the Paul's Men podcast. This is episode 176.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Good night. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dreams. Sometimes I live in the country. Sometimes I live in town. Sometimes I have a great notion to jump into a river and drown. Irene, good night. Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
We're back.
Yes, we are. And D, what was that?
That was an old song.
Good night, Irene. Yeah, but
you have to be really old to know that song.
Well, I didn't know the words to it, so.
What do you mean? I heard you singing along.
Did you?
No.
Well, if you are interested in what that is about, you'll have to listen to all of this Catholic.
Stay tuned.
All of this Catholic Vitamins. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're with us once again. We have survived Ohio-like rainy, freezing, cold, damp weather.
I was really disappointed when I woke up Friday morning and it was pouring rain, which meant, I can't go walking with the walking group today. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be out in this. And then later in the day, we heard that they were going to cancel the soup supper. We're like, what?
Yeah.
The weather's not that bad. And they said, well, they're forecasting it's going to get bad. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Who is it that lives in Montgomery County in Maryland that's a listener to... Is it Jennifer Larkin?
Oh, somewhere. She lives back there, yes.
Yeah, I think she's in Montgomery County, just outside of Washington, D.C. Well, why I'm asking that question on the spur of the moment, interrupting what sounded like your train of thought, is you know that we used to live back in Washington, D.C. area, and I was at one time a government type, and I remembered that if there was a micro milliliter of an inch of snow, they would shut down the city.
True. We look forward to snow days sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's what they did with the soup supper, and it was.
Yeah, and I'm thinking. And so we went over to church about 4:30, 4:15 for evening prayer at 4:30, and then followed by the benediction at 5, ending our day of adoration, and then following that was Stations of the Cross. So we come out of church what about 5:30?
Mm-hmm.
It was snowing.
Yeah, it was really, really snowing.
And I went, okay, maybe I should back off on my whining about them canceling the soup supper.
Well, but they did cancel it a little bit early, overreacting. Mm-hmm. But they said that they're going to have that soup and a bunch of other soup for the coming Friday.
The religious ed teachers are supposed to have it this coming Friday. And so our ladies group, who was supposed to have it on this past Friday, will help the religious ed people. But when we heard that the soup was going to be canceled, we heard it in the middle of the afternoon or early in the afternoon, I guess, that day. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I said, okay, Tom, come on, we're going out for fish.
Yeah, we did. We went to one of our favorite places, which will remain unnamed.
That's right. Only Deborah Shaven knows where it is.
Oh, really? So we had... Here's the menu that we have. Why are we doing this at Prattle? This is really small potatoes. No, we didn't have small potatoes. We had three fish tacos probably the best tacos you can find in North Central Arizona.
They're good. And they've got the best clam chowder.
Yes,
and
they do.
The best coleslaw.
Right. So you get the coleslaw, small cup, and a cup.
And a cup of soup.
Soup.
And you then get the tacos, and then you give me one of the tacos, and I share my soup and coleslaw with you, and we get out of there kind of cheap.
Relatively speaking, huh? Yeah. Well, we're glad you're with us for this show. It is, as you've heard earlier, Catholic Vitamin F for Fellowship, and we have a good guest to help us look at something that I hope will help the man in your life or you male listeners to grow in your faith. But first, we have dear friend Mariana. So let's take a listen.
Okay.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. In 1998, a teen with cropped, spiked red hair who described herself as an outcast from society, grunge, and part of the skateboard crowd, had a chance to question a bishop. At a diocesan dinner for young people in Yakima, Washington, the girl named Kristen stood and asked then-Bishop Francis George, "What does the Pope have for dinner?" The crowd tittered, but then she followed with more serious questions on Marian devotion and the Eucharist. The bishop explained why Catholics love and honor Mary and about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. He told how every Mass brought him a sense of awe in this real presence of Jesus. He spent a couple more hours with the teens, joining them for pizza and conversation. The skateboard girl felt a new curiosity and excitement for her faith stirring. "He made the Catholic faith come alive for me," she said, in an article I wrote for the March 1998 Catholic Home Mission Extension magazine. "He brought the faith alive, not because he's this huge, exciting person," she continued, "but because he loves it so much. You can see that in his eyes. You can see Jesus in him in the way he speaks." That night began a unique friendship between the gentle Bishop George and the skateboard girl. He helped lead her deeper into her faith, and she called him the Bish. At age 15, she extracted a promise from the bishop that he would celebrate her wedding someday. About their blossoming friendship, she told him, "You're stuck with me for life, bud." For her 16th birthday, her parents video recorded a special message, and Bishop George was the first person on the recording offering birthday blessings. In the old days, Kristen would giggle and chat through Mass and leave right after communion, but she started looking to Bishop George and his intense focus during the Mass. She quieted down, became reverent. After the bishop was elevated to cardinal and left to serve Chicago Catholics, she missed him, but he assured her that he hadn't forgotten her when he returned to Yakima to celebrate a Jubilee Mass. "You know, Kristen," he told her, "even though I'm a busy guy, I still need friends." Kristen marveled at his warmth toward all types of people. "He's the way Jesus was when he went to the Samaritan woman," she said in the extension article. "He goes to people that no one else would touch, because I was one of the people that no one else would touch. I was a no-name, and he became my friend." At age 19, the skateboard girl turned evangelist, joining a Catholic program called Reach. Traveling and staying with host families, she helped host retreats for families and young people at churches and schools. Gone was the grunge attitude. The girl up on stage presented her faith through drama, song, and testimony. This fellowship with a bishop changed Kristen's life and shows how friendship and faith unites and transforms spirits in people of all walks of life. When people of faith gather, that fellowship should offer them a safe zone. When people are loving God together, they naturally upbuild each other. Sometimes through fellowship, enduring friendships form to lighten our load in life. "A faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He who finds one finds a treasure," says Sirach, chapter 6. "A faithful friend is beyond price. No sum can balance his worth. A faithful friend is a life-saving remedy, such as he who fears God finds. For he who fears God behaves accordingly, and his friend will be like himself."
Well, we've said it before, I'll say it again. If there's any evidence of why Mariana Bartholomew is a gift to Catholic Vitamins and our listeners, it's that story that she just shared about the Bish and the grunge girl. What a beautiful story, and God willing, we in our ways will help to build up friendship where we are. Dee is much better at it than I am, dear.
Oh, thank you.
What do you got over there?
I just want to say I love hearing stories about young people who are touched
yeah.
by somebody in the church and helps them with their faith path. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was so surprised. I checked iTunes.
Oh.
We got some new reviews.
Oh, great.
Thank you, listeners. I mean, I've been pleading and pleading, so I'm still going to plead.
Well, that looks like your handwriting. Are you the one that did the...
Oh, it is not. He's kidding.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So the first one was posted on February 17th, and it says, the title is Click Subscribe and Never Look Back.
Oh.
I followed Deacon Tom over from Lisa Hendy's Catholic Moments podcast in 2010, and I'm still listening today. Deacon Tom and the lovely Dee fill my car with friendship, conversation, and thought-provoking discourse on the long, lonely drive to and from work. Virgo and Mariana are vitamin A for amazing as well.
Oh,
now, we don't really know who posted this, but we know somebody who does a long drive, but I don't know if that's who this is.
Let me just say a word about that and about Virgo, since we have that mentioned. That is so nice, and that is representative to me of what podcasting is all about, that our ministry can exist on the treadmill, it can exist in the car, and while you're doing dishes. And that's really what we love about this. We do it ourselves. We have other podcasts that we listen to. And just for a second about Fertile, we received notice from him that something may be happening about his ordination, but he is also completely swamped, and he's sort of asked for a little bit of a leave of absence. So we'll be blessed whenever he can rejoin us.
All right. Second iTunes review was posted on March 8th. I learned something about my faith from Deacon Tom and Dee every week. This podcast is delightful. I never miss my Catholic vitamins. Thank you. And that was titled Calling All Catholics. And then one on March 9th. Awesome vitamins. Thank you, Deacon Tom and lovely Dee. Catholic vitamins is a weekly must for all seeking spiritual nourishment. Well, to those three, thank you so much. And I am not going to ever stop pleading. I want you, if you haven't done an iTunes review for us or a rating, please go over and do it.
All right.
I'll read it. I promise.
Well, there you have the work that Mariana did, the introduction to the idea of friendship, fellowship, and our guest, as you've heard, is Bob Derilio. What we played at the beginning of the show will unfold during the interview, and we might find another snippet again. Right now, let's meet our guest. Well, as you've already heard on Catholic Vitamins, our next guest, our primary guest for Catholic Vitamin F, is Bob Derilio. Bob, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Good to be here.
Well, you and I and your lovely wife, Eileen, and Dee, we've enjoyed a weekend of fellowship, or a good part of a weekend of fellowship, here in north central Arizona. We knew that you would be missing the snow from Ohio, so we filled up the area with snow. But
you did an exceptional job.
Well, one thing I'll say as we work our way into the interview with Bob, thanking him for coming here, is that we've enjoyed some fellowship, getting to know each other over the years through the internet and then through our own personal get-together, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah, in Steubenville, I think.
Yeah, and we also met here in Arizona.
Here in Arizona once, yeah.
Yeah, right. We did. So we are beginning to build up a real friendship, and Scripture says, when iron sharpens iron, men are strengthened. I'm paraphrasing the words of Scripture. But one of the things about being with Bob is we enjoy joking, we enjoy carrying on, but we don't have any problem at all talking about our faith walk or whatever, right?
That's right. That's true.
And we have laughed quite a bit this weekend of the time we've been together. Bob, for those who are not familiar with your podcast, Paul's Men, and I think you're probably a bigger podcaster than we are on Catholic Vitamins, why don't we start a little bit ahead of Paul's Men and tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, I was I was born in 1943. I think that was after you were born. we had to get that in. I was raised a Catholic and so on. But I have to say I was never that close to the faith. And at age 50 or 53, something like that, I went to a Promise Keeper event in Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And a person who happened to be in the audience of that same Promise Keeper event was a Pentecostal minister by the name of Alex Jones. We discovered that about each other just a couple of years ago. And at that time, I saw a different way of life. I saw there was more to life than my hollow theology. And my theology was very simple. I was a choir director for 40 years. And 25 of those were spent directing a choir in a Catholic church. And my theology was just simply, I'll do this for you, Lord, and I'll do it for nothing and do the best I can. And when the show is over, beam me up, baby. That was it. And it was at Promise Keepers where I saw there was more to it. And I made a promise that night to God that I would do everything I could to bring men to the faith. And little did I know that another man named Dave Douglas in the Cleveland area was trying to start up a Catholic men's organization called Catholic Men's Fellowship of Northeast Ohio. I met Dave. I heard about a conference they were putting on. There was only 100 guys there. And it was kind of a strange thing. Again, I've been in music all my life. And they had a praise band there, and I won't mention the name of the praise band, but I'll say in all, you know, as good a Christian way as I can, they were the worst praise band I've ever heard. And, one fella did not have his capo on his guitar, and he played an entire song amplified out of tune with the rest of the band. That's how bad it was.
Oh.
Guys around me were tapping me on the shoulder and elbowing me to go do something about that. And, I, you know, it wasn't my praise band. There was nothing I could do. And I went up to the guy, to Dave Douglas, the founder, and I said, how would you like to have a praise band that just does the conference? We have no tapes to sell. We'll come together. We'll do the conference. And that's it. And he said, I would love it. Let's meet. And that ultimately resulted, I did that, and that ultimately resulted in my being a member of the board of directors of Catholic Men's Fellowship of Northeast Ohio, and I've been involved with them ever since. And
okay, let's go back to your growing up years. You described your faith as, what would you say, typical or average, not really on fire? Would that be a safe way of describing it?
Let's see. Yeah, that would be a safe way. I was not on fire. I call myself a world-class mechanical Catholic. I went through the motions of being a Catholic, but there was no substance, no depth to the faith. As I said, I mean, I had a very hollow look on outlook, but I was very gifted at the same time with the music. Mm-hmm. As a choir director, I always had large choirs, and they were very successful. But let me define success. Success in a choir is when you contribute to the liturgy. Not when you have a gazillion members and all that kind of thing, or you can sing the Hallelujah chorus or something else. I had a terrific group of people who were very dedicated, and I was inspired by them too.
Okay. How did you and your wife meet, just so we sort of build up the family side of things before moving on with your work?
We met over a softball game. I was a member. We were both members of our respective parishes in the Akron area, young adult organization, and our group, the group I was associated with, put on a picnic, and it was a Labor Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, I'm not sure what holiday, but it was during the summer, and since I was one of the organizers, we decided to have a softball game, and I just stepped in to umpire the game. And a friend of mine pointed my wife out to me, who was playing for one of the teams, and I took her to the full count when she came up to bat, and we just started flirting in a good way, and that's how we met.
Great, great. How long have you been married now?
47 years. It'll be awesome. 48 years on May 15.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we've enjoyed getting to know both you and your wife, and she's got a sense of humor and a good tease herself, doesn't she?
She has to. She's married to me.
All right, and then you have children. Let's just finish this picture.
Three boys.
All right, good. And they live in different parts of the country.
We have one that lives about a half hour from us in Northeast Ohio, and then one that lives in upstate New Jersey, and one that lives in Marietta, Georgia.
Great. Okay. So one of the things that I became familiar with was New Celebration Singers. Describe what that was and how it got started.
New Celebration was an interdenominational Christian concert choir, very up-tempo. We used a CD background, and it was a very upbeat. There used to be an organization called Up With People. I think it was nationally known.
Sure.
And I kind of fashioned it after that group, the style of music, the up-tempo and all that. And we started, I had an idea. I was not directing a choir in a church. And I had done this for 25 years, and as far as I was concerned, my deal with God was over. I had done 25 years, volunteered, and you know, lived the rest of my life. And when I finally died, well, just beam me up, baby. It was all set. But God had other plans, and He kind of guided me. The first idea was to start an all-county choir in our county, Geauga County in Northeast Ohio. We started that. The only thing was men and women from 30 different churches heard about it, came and joined us, and we then had five different counties represented in the group. We operated pretty much like a little theater does. We sold advertising in our program that raised the funds for the electronics and the CD background music and the music that the choir used. And then whenever we would go out and do a concert, aside from a nursing home or two, we would raise funds. There would be an offering taken at the door after the program, and we would raise funds for charities. That group, in its 14-year existence, generated something like $50,000 for various charities in Northeast Ohio.
You had previously sent me music from New Celebration Singers, and I forget what the protocol was to ask for permission to play it on Catholic Vitamins. So we'll include some music from them on this show for Catholic Vitamin F for Fellowship. Some great sounding music, some of it very Americana,
right,
and some maybe a little bit on the spiritual side.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
We tried to hit it all.
Yeah, really, really great. All right, so I heard you say earlier 40 years of choir directing, and in the process of these 40 years, you had this experience at Promise Keepers, which led you to start working with Catholic Men's Fellowship, and that's the heart of our show that we're putting together this time. Tell us about a few things you've done with Catholic Men's Fellowship.
Well, every year, Catholic Men's Fellowship, the big event, is a conference. And there are Catholic Men's Fellowship conferences all around the country. At one time, I was aware of 60 of them going on in the United States.
Wow.
Now, I'm not sure where it stands today, but I was very much involved, first of all, with the music. That's where it started. Then I became president of Catholic Men's Fellowship of Northeast Ohio. Now, the purpose of the conference is to bring men to Christ. It's that, I call it the rah-rah rally around the flag activity. And it's just great. You get 1,000 guys or 500 guys or whatever or more in an auditorium, and it's just awesome. But we have a message. And the message, besides bringing men to their faith in an unthreatening environment, is to go out and set up a small men's group in your church, get a group of guys, and I have been, and if you listen to the Paul's Men podcast, I frequently talk about the Monday night men's group. I've been involved with them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that is to keep the conference going, spiritual growth, but the conference is kind of a major event type thing. But it's up to the individual to keep their spiritual growth going. And just as you need the conference that, you know, all those guys around you, in a sense, to bring you to Christ, at least I did, and so did a lot of others, you have to keep that going. Sure. And the best way to do it is to keep guys around you. It's a much smaller group, you know, it's a much smaller number, but the message is there. You continue to grow in your faith. And as Deacon Harold Burke Sivers said, you got men that have your back. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
Spiritually, yeah, you bet, you bet. Well, I have listened to Paul's men for quite a while, and you've been kind enough to include a little bit of Deacon Tom every once in a while, but you've had some great speakers and some great topics. Tell anybody that might be new what you're doing with Paul's men these days.
One day we were at a conference, that I believe I was president of Catholic Men's Fellowship of Northeast Ohio at the time, and we were in an auditorium in Akron, and there was about 600 men there. And as I stood in the back of the conference, a speaker was up there, and we have the finest speakers in our faith. Other faiths have good ones too. I don't want to, but I got to thinking, if we had this hall filled to breathing room only, the messages still wouldn't get out to enough people. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was frequently on Father Roderick Van Eugen, mm-hmm. His program at the time called The Daily Breakfast.
And, I remember it well.
Podcasters will know me as Bicycle Bob. And I would, I was observing what he was doing and what Greg Willits was doing down there in Georgia with the Rosary Army. And I thought, this is a good way to get this message out. So I have a segment of the program, and the whole program was really built around this, called Conference Echoes. And in the Conference Echoes segment, I play broadcast talks from that are really given all around the country at men's conferences. People send them to me, and I have quite a number of them ready at any given time. And I do those in about 15 plus or minus 2 or 3 minute segments, the Conference Echoes segment. That's the main purpose of the podcast, so that those talks that we hear in those conferences get out beyond the walls of the conference.
Wonderful, and just great. And some of the things that you've done have been part one, part two, part three, part
That's
four,
right.
And I look forward to them week after week. So how long have you been doing Paul's Men?
I'm not sure. Probably about 2 or 3 months longer than you've been doing the vitamins.
Okay, so
Catholic vitamins.
Yeah, we've been doing this 3.5 years, so maybe you're up around four or something.
4 years, yeah.
For anybody that might be interested in this idea of fellowship, I want to tell a short story, but use it to let Bob open up a little more about this. Many years ago, when we were back in Estes Park, Colorado, I can't even remember how this got started, but about 3 or 4 of us men from the parish decided to start meeting on a Saturday morning at a local restaurant. And what we were going to do is just talk a little bit about how our faith walk was going. No, nothing real heavy duty and nothing super challenging that would frighten men away. And we got started, and pretty soon we realized that we wanted to move into a back room where we could be a little more open in our talk. And we did that, and it grew, and we moved to the basement of the church. And the format that we chose was this. Every week when we were meeting on Saturday morning, or every other week, I guess it was, one man would volunteer to bring in a topic, and we would open with a prayer. We'd have coffee and donuts, and then the man would bring up the topic. If it was something that he could relate to Scripture, he would read a little bit of Scripture about it, and then we'd share for half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour. Well, it turned out to be just an absolutely wonderful way to have men in fellowship growing in the faith. And I read that into what you describe about the Monday night men's group. Is that sort of the format of what you do?
Yeah, we usually open up with singing a hymn. We have one fella, his name is Gary, and Gary is what I call our professional prayer. He always opens up the men's the Monday night with a thought-provoking prayer or narrative. And then we go into the topic of the evening. Now, there are several books available, and if you go to Catholic Men's Fellowship, I just put that down on the internet. There's a national organization out of Kansas City, and you can buy materials to use as guides to keep a men's group going on different topics of the faith. There are several books out on that that we've used. And as I sit here right now, I'm 2,000 miles away from my home and all the materials I have up there. But and I would be willing, if anybody has any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them on how to get men's groups started and all that. And I might add, not all churches are wide open to this. I've been in this program since 1997, and sometimes pastors just don't want to have this in their parish for whatever reason. And if a guy really wants to do this and grow spiritually, do it in your home. Go to a restaurant as you did. Just do it, and it really makes a difference. We do it every other week. Some people do it every week. Some once a month, and it's a time that you force yourself to back off from the world and all that goes on around you, and start thinking about spiritual matters.
Just great. Just absolutely great. You mentioned getting in contact with you. Give us a way for people to reach out if anybody is interested.
Easiest one is bob@paulsmen.com. That's my website. Or you can go to the website, www.paulsmen.com. But bob@paulsmen.com is the email.
All right. Now, I have one other thing I want to cover in just telling people about what a great heart you have, Bob. Bob came up from the Phoenix Valley. He came up to the snow where we are, he and his wife, and Bob donated an evening of great music and singing, his own singing, in what he calls his senior cabaret. And while the snow, the cold and damp weather up here really hit into the numbers that we were trying to seek, we did a fundraiser for our food bank and for the Knights of Columbus Charities. Tell our listeners what the Senior Cabaret is.
Well, the Senior Cabaret is maybe an idea still developing, but I was a choir director for 40 years, and as a choir director, I rarely ever sang. And now I'm actually singing in front of crowds, and it's really the first time in my life. And I put together a show at the encouragement of several people, because I really had no intention of getting into this, and consists of Broadway show tunes, some cowboy music, pop songs, country songs. We did a tribute last night that I worked up to Jim Reeves, the singer Jim Reeves, who died in 1964.
That's great.
And stuff like that. It's just a show. But what I did was I combined, I'm a history buff, and I just kind of combined the history of some of the songs, the artists, with the songs themselves, and present that as a package. And we just have a lot of fun with it.
It was really, really great, and we're so grateful, and I know the word is overused, but we're so grateful that you would come up and do that. And I saw a lot of heads nodding in time with the music, or feet tapping, so it was really infectious. I don't want to promote the fact that you'll travel all over the country, but if you hear Bob is heading your direction, maybe you might reach out to him and ask him to come by your parish or someplace like we did, a senior center, and it was a great evening.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Well, Bob and Eileen, we ask the Lord's blessing upon you for the remainder of your time in Arizona. Where are you heading after you leave here?
Up to Carson City, Nevada, and then back to beautiful downtown Newberry, Ohio, and the sunroom.
Yeah, right. Well, we will miss you. We have, in the hours that God has blessed us with, we've enjoyed great fellowship, and thank you for taking the time to spend with Catholic Vitamins, and I hope some people will hear some things, or some men will hear some things, that will cause them to reach out either to Bob or the Catholic Men's Fellowship organization. Where'd you say, Kansas City?
Yeah, Kansas City.
All right.
It's a National Fellowship of Catholic Men. I think if you go in, if something like that. It's going to get you to the right website.
All right. We'll put a link to that on our blog page for this show. And we have pictures of you. We can put a picture of you on. if we have a picture of Bob and me together, he'll be the older looking one. Thank you, Bob, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
The stakes may be heavy or small, but if you haven't gambled for love and loss, then you haven't gambled at all. They call me a moonlight gambler. I've gambled for love and lost. When I gamble for love and it isn't in the cards, ooh, what heartaches it can cause me, win or lose.
Well, there's a little bit of our good friend Bob Derilio from the Paul's Men podcast, except that was recorded last night at the senior cabaret performance. And as you heard Bob say, he does a variety of music from the 1900s all the way up to around the 1950s or early 60s, show tunes and cowboy songs and just all around good, wholesome music. Thank you, Bob, for coming on Catholic Vitamins, as I've already said, and thank you for sharing your talent with us and with the church over the years, 40 years, my heavens. Well, in the absence of Fergal O'Neill, who's really flummoxed by all the stuff that they are throwing at him in his diaconate formation and his family work and his teaching, and I got a email, a quick notice from Justin Stroh that he's not going to be with us this week. I found a cut from a little homilette, if you will, by our dear friend Father Patrick J. O'Doherty himself from Ocala, Florida. He's at Queen of Peace Parish. He's been a guest on Catholic Vitamins, and earlier on we received permission from time to time to use some of his homilies, sermons, and teachings. And this is done before a group of people on the Feast of the Miraculous Medal.
There's language that we use, for instance, the widow's mite. And it's amazing for a generation of people who were, well, I maybe not actively encouraged to read the scripture, that so much of the scripture has gone into our minds. Like, people know the widow's mite. They know the story of the cleansing of the temple. And hopefully we know today that there's an inner temple. And I know you didn't ask, thank you for sharing, I know you didn't ask, but my inner temple has been distracted all this week. Same, even after mentioning from the pulpit, I was all over the place during Mass. All over the place. Now you who are watching from the outside probably don't see anything. All over the place. Nothing I could do about it. Anyway, there is an inner temple. And the gospel this weekend will touch on it in an interesting way. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was flesh and blood, in case you don't know that. And he was like us in everything, except sin. So did Jesus get distracted? Yes, he did. Was he tempted like you are? Yes, he was tempted like you are. In everything. He was like us in everything. Except sin. Well, I don't care what you say, Father. That's not true. Well, it is true. And you may have all lovely images in your mind of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and images of the divine mercy, but Jesus struggled with temptation. And in every temptation, like you, for instance, may never have been tempted to kill anybody. But Jesus had every temptation come at him. So temptation is not sin, obviously, but it can be dreadfully uncomfortable. About whenever it was, 11, 10 years ago, I spent my vacation in the Trappist Monastery at Mepkin Abbey in South Carolina. And I got there on the Monday, and I was among the monks, lived the life of the monk. I was inside the cloistered Trappist Monastery. And so the bell went off at 2:15 every morning. God, it was dreadful. I used to feel I was being wronged and violated. But anyway, you get up and you had to be in the monastery chapel at 2:30 for matins. If you want to know what matins are, there's a number of people who recite them here every morning. In the, you know. So I was situated in such a place in the choir that I was sitting across from the abbots. The abbot was over here, and I was sitting in the stalls over here. And now, how did I know it was the abbot's chair that was over there? Well, he had a crozier, the abbot. Like a bishop has a crozier, an abbot has a crozier. So Tuesday morning, the abbot, I hadn't met the abbot. Tuesday morning, 2:30 in the morning, the abbot is not there. Wednesday morning at 2:30 a.m., the abbot is not there. And so I expected the abbot was, whatever, dead or something, or ascended into heaven like Elijah. Didn't bother, I don't ask. These things are not important to me. Don't ask, you know, what's, you know, why do we have to know everything and talk about everything? So anyway, on the third morning, it was a Thursday, all of a sudden during the matins, I looked up and there was the abbot. And God is my witness, a hatred rose up inside me. You're amused. Well, good. I think I'll turn it on you now. Okay, I can't do that, however. This absolute hatred rose up inside of me. And it's just a temptation, but it's most uncomfortable. A loathing. It was beyond hatred, a loathing. Now, I knew when I went into the Trappist Monastery that I was making myself available to God so he could do with me what he liked. And this was one of the first areas that had to be dealt with in me. I have a revulsion against authority figures. It's funny that I am one. And it's not because what you think. It's because of their weakness, the insipid leadership you get in the church and other places. It's just insipid. They let stuff go on and wrong stuff all the time. You saw it in your own time with Boston. I mean, that's criminal beyond words, what was done. So I have a problem with authority, how weak it is. And then I also, it can be very brutal, however, as well. They can abuse their authority. So I have these issues, you know. Well, that's happened with the abbot. Now, looking at it from the outside, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. I wish to God that guy would drop dead. And that's what you're dealing with. That's what you're dealing with. Now, nothing unusual about that. Everybody has that if you're only honest enough. I mean, this exterior affectations we put on, that's something else. So Jesus deals with that in the scripture this weekend. He's standing in the temple area, and he's noticing that the judges of the people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, are putting large amounts of money into the collection baskets. I find it lovely to consider that there were 13 collection baskets in the temple, and all of them, the mouth of the collection basket was shaped like a trumpet. Isn't that interesting? Well, it's interesting to me. So some of the lads, when they were throwing their money in, did it in such a manner where it could be seen. And it was a fine display, you know, a fine display. Well, not alone will I throw in this $50, Lord, but I'm throwing in my credit card as well. Now, of course, don't tell anybody, but you pay for my credit card. But Don't tell anybody. So these guys, not alone were they throwing it into a trumpet-shaped basket, but they were drawing attention. They were trumpeting their good deeds. And then Jesus let them have it. He said, woe to you. You parade around in robes, he said, but you're doing what you're doing to be seen. You're not real. You're fake. So that was lovely. He obviously never went to How to Win Friends and Influence People. Then he sees, again, the interior. He sees the widow woman, and the widow's mite. And he just doesn't see the two coins, but he sees the disposition with which she gave it. That's what the issue is. Not the money, but the disposition. She gave all that she had to live with, apparently with a joyful heart. So, while you cannot buy heaven, obviously the Pharisees weren't able to buy their way into heaven, you can buy heaven with a widow's mite if your disposition is right. Message. That's the message. Okay. I think that's it. Oh yeah, one last thing. So the widow's mite, the widow gave everything. Now, making a jump here. And what did Jesus give? He gave everything. Everything. Right down to the last drop of blood. And what do I give? Well, that's another story. Okay, that's the message there. Jesus gave everything for you.
Well, Dee, do you recognize that Irish voice?
Of course I do.
Who is that?
Father O'Doherty.
Well, he calls himself. What a joy it was to be in his parish. Although when I was seeing him for spiritual direction, he was pretty straight with me. I mean, he didn't paint things to keep things pretty. He was is and was a great help on my journey.
Too bad you didn't work in the office like I did.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Really got to know him.
All right. Well, speaking of Irish voices, the Irish voice of Fergal O'Neill shared with us an email which told us that the Vatican has intervened in the plans or the potential plans for Fergal's ordination as a deacon, and not just his, but his whole class. The background on this is that there is no bishop in the diocese that Fergal and his classmates are in, and the Monsignor who's in charge of things may not have dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's for requesting permission.
Ahead,
yeah. While I would have thought that he had planned for a bishop to come in, even if there wasn't one appointed, he would have had a visiting bishop come in and do the ordination of the deacons. Apparently, that hasn't been worked out with the Vatican. So, with all the, the things going on at the Vatican and the cardinals starting their meetings, I can imagine that there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty about things. So we are in prayer for Fergal and his classmates, for Fergal and his wife, Mary. And Dee, are we still going to go to Ireland?
We're still going to go to Ireland.
Okay.
Yes. We just might not be sending an ordination. But then again, you know, there's still a bit of time between now and May.
Yeah.
Something could happen.
All right. That is that part of prattle. You said you had some feedback.
Uh-huh.
Please.
So we got this nice note from Alex up in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. He said, hello, Deacon Tom and Dee. On the way home from work today, I was thoroughly enjoying Vitamin X2 episode from January, when what should I find in my mailbox but your prize package?
Oh.
I look forward to listening to the CD, The Seven Pillars of Catholic Spirituality.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I am touched that you hand-wrote a greeting card to include in the package. And if by chance my name is drawn in the Neil Combs draw, perhaps it would be appropriate to pull another name so that someone else can enjoy a prize.
Oh, how nice that is.
That was very nice. Well, somebody else did get that one. It goes on to say, as a Lenten exercise this year, I have unsubscribed from several podcasts that can be negative, sarcastic, or offensive, and am exploring the Catholic podcast scene. I am so encouraged by all the wonderful uplifting Catholic podcasts out there, from Catholic Vitamins to Word on Fire to The Creaky Pew to Just a Catholic Dad. What a blessing. What a great way to encourage one another on this walk of faith in this year of faith. What a great way to keep every workout, commute, or dishwashing session focused on our Lord. I've gone a bit long here, but I just wanted to thank you again for the prize and tell you how much I enjoy this show. God bless, Alex.
All right. Thank you for that. And we hope now that you also know of Paul's Men with Bob D'Arilio and perhaps Channing Dale's This Catholic Life.
Or just go to sqpn.com and you'll find a lot there too.
All right. Well, we are going to take a little break and we'll be back. And on the break, during the break, I'm going to find some music from the new Celebration Singers that Bob D'Arilio used to be the director of. Well, dear, during the break, I found some music by the new Celebration Singers, and we'll do that at the end of the show. And that reminds me to bring up once again the subject of Bob and Eileen visiting us and how great it was to be together.
Yeah, it was a fun overnight. Fun few hours with them. I hope we can visit them in Ohio sometime.
That's another trip you want to take, right?
Well, when you do your sabbatical.
Dear Bishop, can I be gone for a year?
Hey, I have one last piece of feedback, and it's a little bit long, but it's funny, and I want to read the whole thing. Remember we posted a picture on Facebook, our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page?
Right. It was a picture which we didn't tell anybody except go look at it and see if you can guess.
And we said that, you know, we'd send some prizes out to somebody if they could correctly guess what this picture meant.
Yes. We had some funny guesses.
And then Brenda in Illinois nailed it. And then she sent this email afterwards. She says, Dee, thought you might like to hear how I happened to have two guesses about the Facebook picture. I listened to about two-thirds of the Enthronement podcast on one day. I happened to check Facebook and saw the photo. My first thought was that the black plastic, which is something to retard weed growth in flower beds, was coming up. But then I thought more about it and decided maybe you placed it over plantings that you did not want frostbitten. Then I read what you said about a clue. I finished listening to the podcast and thought I was paying close attention for a clue. In the deacon's homily, he told the story of the extra heavy ashes, so I wondered if that was a clue. No, that did not make sense. He talked about the enthronement, and that part did not jump out at me as a clue until he got to the part where he mentioned the retreat home enthronement. So I thought perhaps that was a photo from there. But the logic said, what does that photo have to do with enthronement? So I disregarded that as a viable guess. Next, my ears perked up when Deacon Tom spoke of a rosary walk around the lake. I thought for sure that was where the photo was taken.
Good grief, what a journey she's been on.
But again, logic said that wouldn't be the photo of the lake itself and not whatever that black thing is. Well, I found myself at the end of his homily and the end of enthronement. So that's when I began listening a second time.
Oh my.
From the beginning.
She deserves a reward.
I nearly fast-forwarded past prattle, thinking the clue was probably in the guest portion or in the missionary moments or Justin's or Fergal's segments. I had my light bulb moment during prattle. So there you have it, how I got from A to Z in a circuitous path.
Boy, that's for sure.
Heavy, wet snow falling as I type this. The big fat flakes that fell earlier have been replaced by much smaller ones in the past hour. We are expecting 3 to 4 inches today. Not much is sticking yet. It's very wet. Time to warm my jasmine green tea up. With a warm smile, Brenda.
Oh, what a nice email. Very long, but I want to tell people what that picture was. you could go back and look at it. It's still there, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You have to scroll down a little bit.
Right. Well, where it comes from is we had hung a rug from underneath our picnic table over a back railing at the end of our short little patio. Right. And then we went away to Missouri on our trip. And when we came back, we saw elk foot hoof prints, and we saw all sorts of signs of things being disturbed, and the rug wasn't there. We looked down below. There's a drop of 8, 10, 12 feet.
All we could see was snow.
All we could see was snow, and it turns out that the rug was under that, and when a little bit of it got exposed, we took a picture of the corner of the rug and posted that on Friends of Catholic Vitamins, and Brenda gets two.
She got two CDs from Lighthouse Catholic Media and some Catholic Vitamin Sweet Treats.
There you go. Thanks so much. That's a lot of fun. We might do that again. And speaking of Friends of Catholic Vitamins, if you're a listener, please go over there and join. We've had a few people join up recently.
That's right. If you're not a member, what are you waiting for?
Right. I know that we have a plug to do because isn't this the last week for Tom Peterson's book?
It is. About the 17th, March 17th, we will draw a name for his book.
Okay, well, I did a review for his book over on Amazon.com, and I got a nice note back from Tom Peterson. Thank you so much for all your kindness, Deacon Tom. God bless. And that book, his book, Catholics Come Home, is a great book, a great read. And I just encourage you to go back to the interview that we did recently if you didn't hear it.
It was a great interview.
Yeah. I've had feedback on that for sure. What do we have left?
Vita Scrabble for next time. We didn't give a clue last time, but we're ready to give a clue.
Okay.
Or vitamin G.
Vitamin G. Starts with G. It's Catholic vitamin.
Ends in E.
E, yes.
Five letters.
Okay. CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. That's where you send your email with your guess. CatholicVitamins@gmail.com.
And those who correct guessly.
Oh, gosh. And I'm not editing that out. Her face is down on the table. Those who guess correctly.
Oh, it's getting late.
Sunday evening, yes. Okay.
I'm tired.
All right. What do we have left?
A vitamin, if I can get it out.
Okay.
Okay. From my meditation calendar from Madonna House. More great words from Catherine Doherty, the late Catherine Doherty, the foundress of Madonna House. Lent is a sort of sea of God's mercy, warm and quiet and inviting for us to swim in. If we did, we would not only be refreshed, but cleansed. For God's mercy cleanses as nothing else does.
Mm.
And we're going to be cleansed tomorrow because it's our penance service.
It is. We have an unusual approach in our parish that they've started just fairly recently, within a year. Three different penance service times during the day, like 10 in the morning, and then one at, what is it, 2 in the
afternoon. 2 to 4 in the afternoon, yeah. And 5:30 to 7 in the evening.
Yeah, and there are different priests coming in. And by the way, we believe that a former, and I want to use the word former, Anglican priest, who is now in the personal ordinariate, the Anglican Rite, if you will, the former Anglican Rite, is now in the Catholic Church, and I think he's going to be hearing confession. So depending on whether he's there or not, I may seek his line out. You'll find out what a broken deacon I am if I go to confession to him.
And you'll find out what a confessor he is, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, confessor is the one.
It's the one confessing.
Or is it? Maybe you were right.
I know. I thought confessor was...
Okay, whatever. All right. Maybe we're twisting our words up here.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm twisting them a lot.
All right. Do we have anything else that we need to do? We've done the feedback. We had some chunks of feedback.
We did the Vita Scrabble. We did the vitamin, and I think we're done.
All right. So I picked a song by the New Celebration Singers. Let me see if I can get the title of it here. It's called The River Is Here, sort of in keeping with the theme of being cleansed and freshened and getting God's grace flowing in our lives. And Bob Derilio was the director of this group, and you'll find this an up-tempo tune. We'll do that at the very end, after our regular closing. D, why don't we go and give you some rest so that the next time we do a show, you'll put the first word first and the
good night.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Prayer for the United States. God, our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.